Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful Wheel of Life and another international transmission of You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie.
Yes.
Here we are. We're back in the old podcast room, man.
That's right, bitches. Yeah, you said it.
It's Christmas. The Christmas time is here, by golly.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Oh, by gosh, by golly. It's a countdown to Christmas.
Countdown to Christmas. Big old double C.
Yes. it's a big, exciting time.
Yeah, it's full of commerce. I was at the record store today just browsing, you know.
What did they have out? Anything good, new?
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
The record store. This is Mad World Records.
Right? Mad World Records, yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the square. Beautiful.
I'm kind of looking for some stocking stuffers for old Morgan. Maybe I need to go in there after this.
And get her a 7-inch. I didn't mean that to be sexual.
Right.
But anyway, there's this woman and her husband, I assume. They were in there together buying Christmas gifts, and they were talking, and it was just so obvious they didn't know anything about music at all, and it was really weird, and I would just cringe at everything they said. Like, oh, the Beatles. He likes the Beatles, you know, and like, oh, look at the caricatures of the Beatles. That's so great. And then the guy's like, oh, I remember that. I was like, God damn it, man. I'm such an elitist, you know, but the other thing is that she said, she was talking about maybe this other couple from last year.
What were their names?
I don't know. Maybe somebody, but they were like, we got to do better in our Christmas shopping because they whooped us last year. And the husband was like, I didn't know it was a contest. And she's like, well, it's not, but it is. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go.
So that's why they were looking for Beatles records and caricatures.
They were grasping for straws.
Just bobbing for apples.
Bobbing for hits.
Bobbing for apples in a carton, or what is it called? A trough of pears.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
I like pears better, actually.
I do like pears, too.
Pears are good.
That's a great analogy right there.
Yeah.
It's so deep.
It is. It's really deep. I think that maybe we'll... Actually, why don't... Daniel, you can use that one of your songs.
Okay.
This CD is this, or name the title of your next album: "Bobbing for Apples in a Trough of Pears."
In a trough full of pears.
It's a concept album.
Yeah, and it'll be all about fruit.
I love that.
And bobbing.
I love that. It's my favorite.
Did you ever get sick, Daniel? Everybody else got sick. Did you get sick?
I have not gotten sick.
You lucky bastard.
E.T. was the worst. E.T. got the worst of it, I think, probably.
Yeah, he was down for the count for a while.
I was sick. Shana was sick. You were sick. Morgan was sick. I mean, a lot of people I know were sick. See, yeah. I'm still got a touch of it. That's why I'm going to be making strange noises like throughout the entire podcast.
Nice.
So, Starfire, you can do your best to edit those out.
No, well, I'm leaving that one in.
That's real, man. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, it's like when a piano bitch squeaks right before Leon Russell starts playing what the fuck is the name of that song?
I don't know.
The big one.
Hold on loosely.
Hold on loosely.
Yes, that's it.
No. A song for you.
Ay caramba.
Ay caramba, hold on loosely, a song for you. Those are all the same tune, right? Those are maybe different versions of the same song.
So speaking of record stores, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but yesterday, or it was either yesterday or the day before, Ricky Brown, I'm telling a story about him, and I look at my phone, and he's calling me.
That is some synchro-fucking-icity.
Yeah, but he...
Oh, he's calling you right now.
Yeah, he was asking me what the whole thing, why was vinyl so big now? You know?
So this is your manager calling you, wanting to know, what's the deal with these kids, and why is vinyl so popular?
Well, he just doesn't have vinyl, so it's not like he knows that, he's not saying that it shouldn't be, but he just wants to know the rationalization.
Well, he's an old man. He's what, like 24, 25?
Well, he's older than I am.
Okay.
I'm 26, so I think he's probably 28.
Okay. Yeah. He's old, man. Old people like that, they don't get it, you know.
But yeah. So let's.
So what's the answer? What are you going to text him back?
I already texted him back, but I want to hear your answers.
It's in the zeros and ones record. You got to break it down to the very base of it all. I mean, you can't just say, "What's the deal with that?" you gotta just like break it down.
Because I buy pretty much nothing but vinyls too.
Well, look at the state of the industry right now. People aren't buying CDs. People are going to Mediafire and downloading zip files for free, and that's totally cool and whatever. And like nobody's making any money except, but people want. I think the music lover wants tangible media, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I think.
And they need MP3s, so it's just like you can buy this record that sounds amazing, better than anything it's going to sound on, and I can get the files for my iPhone and my CD if I want to burn one, if they still even make those. I don't know. Do they still make CDs?
Yeah, they do. But I think also it's part of like just the big... artwork and the like you said, the tangible, something to hold on to, you know?
Yeah, if you're gonna like buy an album, why not buy the best?
There's a whole experience involved with vinyl that you miss out on with even with a CD, you know.
It's the superior media. I mean, compared to,
I just think it's like you said, it's tangible and it's much more of like a, it's much more exciting to go get a vinyl and you open it up and you get this big piece of artwork and you get to take out the thing and read everything in big print, what, you know, who played on it.
Yeah.
If and the lyrics are in there, whatever, you know.
Sometimes the records are colored, you know, it's cool. It's always it's cool. And there's always like cool, neat things in records sometimes.
Like the little writing and stuff on the inside.
The etchings on the inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Oh, man. Totally. I'm a vinyl lover. It's like the one thing I like.
Me too, man. About. And I got a Christmas tree. Uh-huh. And I haven't been listening to vinyls lately because ever since my Christmas tree has been in there, it's kind of blocking. It's fucking
in front of everything.
It's in front of all my shit. Well, I had to move the TV over, so one of the speakers is behind the TV now. So I would have to basically be listening to it out of one speaker.
You could just go hang out behind the TV and listen to your records, man. If you're really going to be serious about this, fucking go for it.
Jeez, Charlie, don't blame Christmas. Don't blame all your problems on Christmas.
Well, yeah. Speaking of Christmas.
It's not Jesus' fault.
Speaking of Christmas, we've got a little question here from Charlie Stepp, a regular podcast listener / question asker.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, heartbreaker. What is the true meaning of Christmas, and don't say whatever you want it to be? That's such a songwriter answer.
Wow, the true meaning of Christmas. You know, I heard the other day, and I can't remember where I heard this, but people, like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the church used to prosecute people for celebrating Christmas because it wasn't...
Yeah, it's pagan.
Yeah, it wasn't of the church. And like if you even mentioned the word Christmas, you know, you could get something cut off or fucking fucked up or something. I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly what they did, but it was considered bad to celebrate Christmas. And now... It's the other way around, and the church is all about Christmas, and it's considered...
It's a moneymaker.
Pagan to not celebrate Christmas, you know, or considered un-American, at least, to not celebrate Christmas. So, I don't know. The meaning of Christmas changes. It's not that it's whatever you want it to be. It's what society wants it to be.
That's right.
It's true. Right now, I mean, in a general sort of way, I think the meaning of Christmas is just commerce.
Yeah.
And
right.
But it means something different to everybody else. So, you know, whoever, everybody has their own little memories and nostalgia of Christmas. And so I assume that's what it would mean to everybody else.
Well, and you've got to think, if corporations are people, like some laws and statutes would say, you know, corporations have the same rights as people.
Yeah.
Corporations don't look at it like most people do. Corporations look at it from a capitalist money-making point of view, you know.
Yeah.
And then the average person sees it as a way to show someone else how they care about them, you know, or whatever. But it's easy to get sucked into all this shit. See, I've got all these toys around here that we bought for all these kids, and it's like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, you can, even this buying for other people, you can be like, oh, man, we should get that for them, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it gets crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know. I had a thought going, and it's like, no, it's not worth it. Sucks. Thought sucks.
There was a thought, but it's gone.
Like a fart in the wind, Starfire. Hey, hello, how'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island? How'd you like to spend the holiday away across the sea?
If you ever spent Christmas on Christmas Island, you'll never stray for every day your Christmas dreams come true.
So Kim Jong-il is deceased now.
He is. And the successor looks like a total winner.
Yeah, he does.
I heard somewhere that he may not be the successor, though.
Well, what do you mean?
That he won't have any power, at least.
Yeah, like there's factions that are not... He all he does is play video games, apparently, and he is a huge Michael Jordan fan.
Right, and that the military will still control everything. All the people who were basically controlling everything before.
That's so crazy. There's going to be a weird power struggle. I mean, this is like a movie unfolding before our eyes, guys.
We live in a fucking movie.
We do live in a movie.
We do.
We're living in the future.
We're living in the goddamn future.
We are now, aren't we? Yeah.
We are now.
Just the other day, we were, you know, listening to Motley Crue, watching our friends break their arms on skate ramps.
And now they got robots that make tea for you, and there's fucking music that you can steal at from nowhere. It just comes out of nowhere.
And the president is black.
And the evil this masterminds.
This must be the future. You know, it's like if you were in a coma like for 20 years and you wake up, you're like, fuck, man.
All these evil masterminds are dying, like dropping like flies.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
They're getting rid of, like, they're literally getting rid of these civil rights, like, what's the fucking Posse Comitatus, you know, where they weren't going to have...
National Detention Authorization Act?
Well, yeah, but, like, there was
National
this,
Defense Authorization Act.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
There was this act passed back in 18-something.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't have troops on the streets of America. You can't have American troops on the streets of America.
Right.
Like, you could have police officers and stuff like that, but you can't have army troops on the street, you know?
It's coming.
Well, yeah, they've gotten rid of that law. They just did it the other day. Yeah. Like, oh, we didn't need that. Who cares about this shit?
Yeah, exactly. Then you can be detained.
Right, and now they're saying, they're passing these laws that say that you can be detained, and they can assassinate you, and they can keep you without charge for an indeterminate amount of time. This is insane, man.
Yeah.
The future is scary.
Did you see The Daily Show last night?
Yeah, probably.
He brought it all home about the National Defense Authorization Act. It was awesome.
What did he say?
Yeah, what did he say?
Man, I wish we could just find the clip and play it.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet you we can. I bet you that it's up by now, wouldn't you think?
All right.
Because
we'll find
it. Because he just went into this elaborate thing, and it's awesome.
Let's do it.
Let's start in Washington, where last week the Senate passed the 2011 Defense Appropriations Bill, which authorizes all the money for our armed forces by a whopping 93-7. Of course, the Defense Appropriations Bill, it's one of those must-pass pieces of legislation. Every year, you always see some crazy provision someone sneaks in there. Like, in 2007, it was intelligent clothing. We were going to pay to develop clothing that detects chemical attacks. In 2009, it was Hawaiian healthcare networks. You know, and, of course, last year, the flying bulldozer. It's unnecessary. Let's see what wacky provisions got folded into this year's bill.
The provisions authorize the indefinite military detention of American citizens who are suspected of involvement in terrorism, even those captured here in our own country, in the United States, which I think should concern each and every one of us.
Yes. I agree with you. That is somewhat concerning. A bill that allows the government to lock up an American citizen indefinitely without a trial, thus apparently nullifying the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. I can see why seven senators voted against it. I would have thought we'd had like nine or Baker's dozen, but all right. Can only imagine, though, the Senate debate on the bill was pretty pitched.
We have approximately a half hour on each side. I'm wondering how much Senator Graham needs.
10 minutes, is that too much? 5 minutes?
Could you do 5 minutes?
Okay. Seven.
We have, I think, seven speakers on this side.
Okay, I'll try to be quick.
Try to do 8 minutes, would that be all?
Yeah, I'll try to do it as quick as I can.
I can eliminate that freedom in 6 minutes. I can eliminate that freedom in five. Eliminate that freedom. Each side in this debate had half an hour. Isn't there anyone who can derail this one-way train to Gitmo? You know, I seem to recall a promising young man who once made an eloquent case for our values.
We're not a country that runs prisons, which locks people away without ever telling them why they're there or why what they're charged with.
We're not a nation that locks people up without charging them.
But I'm going to work to change that. No, this is not. Remember that guy? I love that guy. I think he was in something recently. The White House. I'm sure that his press secretary can explain exactly why our president isn't going to sign this authoritarian piece of crap.
Any bill that challenges or constrains the president's critical authorities to collect intelligence, incapacitate dangerous terrorists, and protect the nation would prompt his senior advisors to recommend a veto.
But the challenges or constraints? Well, you got that? Obama is going to veto this thing not because he objects to the executive branch having near infinite power to detain whoever it wants, but because he objects to the executive not having totally infinite power. Apparently, there is a provision in the bill that says the president must detain foreign terror suspects in only military custody unless he has a waiver. He's got to issue a waiver. The White House is going to veto this because they don't want to do any f***ing paperwork. To be fair, if you do find yourself suddenly and perhaps capriciously imprisoned under this bill, you will have an opportunity once a year to go before a committee and have your indefinite detention status reviewed. And B, they couldn't hold you indefinitely just until the end of hostilities. So when the war on terror ends, and terror surrenders, and is no longer available as a human emotion, you're free to go. Now, you might be thinking, well, this law in no way applies to me because I'm not a terrorist. Well, luckily, you don't have to be. You just have to be suspected of supporting or aiding one. And you may be thinking that in no way applies to you because you don't go to terrorist meetings or send terrorist mail. Well, support's a pretty broad term.
There are laws on the books now that characterize who might be a terrorist. Someone missing fingers on their hands is a suspect, according to the Department of Justice. Someone who has guns, someone who has ammunition that is weatherproofed, someone who has more than 7 days of food in their house can be considered a potential terrorist.
More than 7 days of food? My beans, my beloved beans. Maybe not now, but in the future, executive power like this could be exercised very broadly. A completely innocent person who may have, as a child, attended a madrasa or later attended events with members of a known terrorist group or sat with radical clerics and to this day associates with a man without all his fingers. That person could be subject to indefinite... Oh, my God! President Obama! It's a trap! We'll be right back.
It's fucked up that no one is saying, like no one in power, you know, is saying, wait a minute,
Yeah.
This is fucked up.
Seven people.
Yeah. Seven people out of 100 said, nah, I don't think this is yeah. good. And who knows why they said no, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's nutty. It's just completely fucking nutty. So we've got another question in here. This is from Dirt Floors Marty. Dirt Floors Marty! What three artists would you pick to be judges on a Texas version of a talent show like American Idol, and why? Well,
a Texas. Well, Rick Perry.
Rick Perry,
number one.
Starfire as a talent show.
Yeah,
Willie Nelson, I think.
Rick Perry, Willie Nelson, and you got to have a check on there. Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson, yeah.
Those would be my Texas picks right there.
I think he's talking about Texas. He's probably talking about Texas country.
I would change mine to Gibby Haynes from the Butthole Surfers.
Yeah.
Rocky Erickson, Daniel Johnson, and
Daniel Johnson has got to be in there. Are there four?
Kinky Friedman.
Yeah, Kinky would be good too.
Okay, I would definitely have Daniel Johnson. I would throw me in there just because I would be fun. That would be fun for me.
just you and Daniel Johnson hanging out.
You know, I mean, you'd really have to think about this. But I like Daniels. I like Daniels.
I say bring out the freaks, man. Get some like honest judgment on these motherfuckers.
That's true. That's true.
These terrorists.
Yeah. You know, with that definition of terrorism, like Jerry Garcia would have been a terrorist for sure.
Yeah.
Fucking Ted Nugent, who we talked about last week, he would have been at the top of the terrorist list with all his guns.
Oh, yeah.
He probably is.
Oh, yeah.
At the top of the terrorist yeah. list.
I mean, I wonder, has anyone...
Hunter Thompson would be a terrorist.
Yeah. Has anyone investigated Jerry's death? Like... Really investigated it? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There could be some sabotage.
Heart failure?
Yeah.
It's not like the guy was a heroin addict for 30 years.
I mean, I don't know. There could be some foul play there.
There could be.
He was missing a finger.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He was. Sign of a terrorist.
Man, I got all mine.
Yeah.
I got all mine. I don't have guns, but I need to.
Yeah. I'd like to buy a gun.
I'd like to buy several, actually.
Time to get a gun.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. It is true. You know, especially we live in a state where you can arm yourself, you know, and that's some states they try to limit that, you know. So we should be proud that we can at least do that. We can't.
If you don't exercise your rights, you'll lose them.
That's right.
It's true.
And if you don't lose your rights, then exercise them.
Yeah.
And if you don't exercise, you'll get fat.
That's right. You don't want fat civil rights people.
They already call civil rights people lazy enough.
Yeah, yeah.
These people just don't want to work.
Lazy Americans.
Yeah.
I believe there are lazy Americans.
I believe that too.
Lazy planet, man. There's a lot of people who maybe not lazy, but apathetic.
Yeah, know? They just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, people will still like... work hard and go to work every day and come home and go to sleep and then work hard every day, you know. But they don't give a shit about what's going on outside of their little bubble that they live in, you know.
Yep, that's it's crazy. It's crazy to think that not everybody knows what we know about everything.
Well, and I don't even think it's that. Maybe people don't try to learn as much as we have, but people... I think to some extent know that this shit's going, like Jon Stewart just mm-hmm. said all of that stuff that's going on. And a lot of people are going to watch that and they're going to say, huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy, you know?
That's crazy.
They're not going to do anything.
Well, and.
But the thing is, what can you do?
Yeah, and it's what can you do. But, and we've been talking about this for a while, like what's it going to take for the majority of people to say, that's it. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to support this.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan had a good idea last night. We were driving. We went to Rose's for Taco Tuesday, which was delicious.
Oh, damn it.
I thought about calling you once we were there, but...
Forgot it was Tuesday.
So she was... We drove by that FEMA place, you know, on the way there. And she was like, you know what we should do is find out where these FEMA camps are going to be and get there early before they start detaining people and bury wire cutters, you know, to get out of the gates.
Yeah.
Well, good luck getting in there, man.
I know.
It's, there's like guard shacks. They have these staggered fucking cement posts so that you can't drive straight in there. You have to drive like this so that you can't build up speed.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Crash into the place. Like, and that's just the FEMA thing in Denton. Like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck. There are rumors that they have fucking tunnels and shit under that place. I've heard a lot of Dentonites tell me that there's shit going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
I think there is. Do you think that we could just go up there and ask to talk to an information officer?
No, you can't. I've used to deliver flowers. You know, I deliver flowers every now and then. And I've delivered up to that place sometimes. And you have to give them your ID. And they have to, like, sign some shit. And they'll let you in. But they fucking follow you. And they let you in to give the flowers to the person. But then you got to fucking split. It's serious. Even if, like... I mean, I feel like maybe I could be in a mob gangster movie and I've got like a Tommy gun and,
and the flowers.
Big box that says flowers, you know, but it's not, you know. I mean, I guess they look at me and they're like, oh, look at this fucking weirdo. He's got a beard, you know. He's probably got a Tommy gun back there.
Yeah. Or anthrax.
Yeah, or an anthrax Tommy gun.
I think I saw some white powder in his beard. It's probably anthrax.
Yeah. Well, and there's actually two FEMA places here in Denton. I've been to the other one too, and it's not as crazy as the one out on the loop.
Yeah.
It's
more like an administration building or something.
I guess, but they still have a guard shack, and when you pull up, like, they make you stop and wait. And then the person comes down out of the building and out the front doors, and you can, and then the fat guard, you know, at the front, who's like, all right, you know, waving you on, go ahead so you can drive up there. But they're just like fucking eyeballing you the whole time, like you're a fucking, they probably think we're terrorists, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a hippie delivering flowers, you know, like, that's probably a government definition of a terrorist right there. Yeah.
Didn't you see all that 60s propaganda?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I want to go look at this FEMA place. It's up on a hill, correct? Like,
Kind of. It's kind of built up. It's over by where you get your driver's license renewed.
Yep. I went to that place with Allison Wheeler.
It's, and the FEMA place is surrounded
in barbed wire.
Barbed wire. Yep. And like I said, there's those weird posts and stuff.
It's strange.
But at least the barbed wire is pointed out, so it's to keep people out of it as of now. But I'm sure they could change that real quick.
Oh, yeah. They've got like a remote switch where it just
goes to
detainment camp mode.
Funny.
Yeah, it's looking like it's not very far away.
No, I know. And let's not forget that we are exactly, well, we're broadcasting today on December 21st, 2011.
Right, this will probably come out tomorrow. But,
yeah, we are 1 year away right now from the Mayan prophecy.
Yep.
So live it up, bitches. You got 1 year. Before the Mayans got to buy a new calendar, and that shit ain't cheap.
it's gonna take an awakening of some sort, a pole shift.
Well, an awakening of the Mayan. Like, I've never met a fucking Mayan. I don't know how to get a new Mayan calendar to start the year after next year.
I think you got to dig one up and sprinkle something on its skull and say a few words, and then poof.
Mayan calendar dust.
Yeah. Sorry. I feel so, it's like such a weird, man, the Mayans were fucking weird people, man. Like the things that they did and the parties they had and just weird.
And I don't think the Mayans did like human sacrifice, but the Aztecs did.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I think the Mayans might have too, but maybe not. I don't know. The Aztecs definitely did.
Yeah, there's some serious.
We need to watch Apocalypto.
Fucking sacrifice going on. And that's like. And what happened to those motherfuckers? You know? Like, what happened to them? Where'd they go?
They explode.
they explode?
I don't know, man. What happened to them?
I don't know.
Did the plants come alive and just eat them all, or...
It's a big mystery, man. Where did they go? Are they coming back?
Did they ever find like their skeletons?
Not many of them, no.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I think they might. They went somewhere. They're coming back. They know we're going to need another calendar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell are we going to do?
Yeah, they're not going to leave us hanging, man.
Well, I bet you this is what's going to happen. If nothing happens, there's just going to be all these things coming. Well, we figured out that we read the Mayan calendar wrong, and you know what I mean? And that it's actually in 3 years.
You know? And then, like, in 3 years.
And they'll just keep saying that. Yeah. And keep saying that. Until some Mayan comes back and gives us a new calendar.
Yeah. Or at least clarifies.
Right. I don't think it's an end of times thing. I don't think it's an end of days thing.
I think it's an ad campaign to get us to buy Mayan calendars.
I have a Mayan calendar.
Wow.
Ring.
Look at that. Marketing at work.
Whoa.
Wow.
Jeez.
It could be.
Bought it in Mexico. Two or three years ago.
That's pretty cool.
After today, they're just going to be Mayan calendar shops spring up in malls, you know, where they have like a bunch of different calendars.
Yeah, just little islands in the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
And they got like naked chicks and stuff, and it's like Mayan calendar. <you know? laughs>
But this one's only like 4 years long. It ends in like, you know, 2016.
Calendars are kind of going the way of the dinosaurs anyways, too.
And the post office, man.
The post office is like on its last leg.
You know what? And Drew, my friend Drew lives in Alaska. I mailed him a Christmas card. And I called him. I was like, hey, man, do you have to put what's the stampage like? What do I got to do? He's normal. You don't have to do anything. He's like, you wonder why the post office is going broke. It costs the same for me to mail something to my next door neighbor as it does to mail it to Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's government at work, right?
Yeah, that's
there.
Bureaucracy right there.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's crazy.
They're smart motherfuckers over there.
Yeah.
And every like 2 or 3 months, they're like, oh, we're gonna raise it. They're just gonna raise it 1 cent, but they do it all the time. You know? Yeah. So it's just like slowly.
You gotta get. I've come to just always buy those forever.
The
ones.
Forever stamp. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just like I don't want to deal with that shit. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Forever stamp. What do you mean?
That will never change. It's like you can mail it.
It says forever on it, so you pay like the regular postage for it, and. Isn't it regular price?
It's a little bit more expensive, maybe a little not bit much. More? It's like a couple of cents more, not per stamp, but just per...
Yeah, so if you don't use a lot of stamps, it's worth it to buy that because they're going up in the price all the time.
And then you don't want to get shit back and, you
mm-hmm.
know.
I gotcha.
Yes. Forever stamp them shits.
Stamp.
I didn't,
forever.
How did I go so far in life without knowing about the forever stamp?
Well, it's a pretty new thing. They didn't used to raise the price of a stamp
every 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a new thing. It used to be like, you know, the same price for a long... They change it like every few years or something, maybe.
So what do you think's going to happen if... I guess it'll be like this deal where your mail doesn't come every day and it comes like twice a week or something like that.
That's weird, and it's just going to get weird and more difficult, I think.
Well, or they're going to... One of the reasons why the post office is going down the shitter is because of these private... organizations like Federal Express and USPS and all, or no, not that
UPS.
UPS, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. But they do it so much better than the feds, you know, or than the...
Yeah.
Because, like, if you want to go to the post office and mail something huge, it's like a big ordeal. You know what I mean? But Federal Express, they deal with that all the time. You can mail a huge, or UPS.
Yeah. So it's like, what's the deal? Is it they're like, why are they doing that?
You know? I don't know.
The motherfuckers,
crazy sons of bitches.
They got to cut money somewhere. They're like, well, we could have the post office where people could have reliable communication, you know, and be able to send things to each other, or we could buy all these guns and we could go bomb all these motherfuckers, and we could start spending all this money passing these laws where we could throw these shit ass motherfuckers in jail.
Yeah.
And then they won't have to mail nobody nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like a good plan if you're a fucking politician or, you know,
yeah,
one of those high up motherfuckers.
Scary business. Whatever.
It's crazy. It is.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation. Got a ton of stuff to celebrate. This old house sure is looking good. Got ourselves the finest snowman in the neighborhood.
Well, so
it's Christmas time, and to me, ladies and gentlemen, at the Shafter House, this is what Christmas time is all about. One, watching Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Two, watching
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. And three, getting presents and hanging out with family and eating. For some reason, we've always just had like hors d'oeuvres on Christmas Eve and watch Christmas Vacation. Building fires is another one. I just bought 10 bundles of fire last night at Lowe's.
Bundles of fire? They're selling fire at Lowe's?
Fire! Because men make fire. But if you guys remember the point in the movie in Christmas Vacation that Chevy Chase is up in his attic and he finds the old time, the old reel-to-reel, you know, movies of
all
his childhood.
All the old movies. Yeah, he's got to stay warm with the goofy hat and all that stuff on.
But this song, Ray Charles, That Spirit of Christmas, it's just a wonderful song, and we'd like to share it to you, or, you know, share it with you for Christmas. And we really hope you guys have a good Christmas, good holiday, whatever you celebrate. If you celebrate Hanukkah, if you just celebrate some other heathen religion.
You celebrate Festivus with the rest of us.
Yeah.
If you're a Satanist.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and a Happy New Year from your friends at You Can't See Us.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the ones we love, sharing so much joy and cheer. What a wonderful feeling, watching the ones we love having so much fun. I was sitting by the fireside, taking a walk through the snow, listening to a children's choir, singing songs about blessed way that he came to our us. Why can't it remain? Oh, all through the year, each day the same. Ah, that's what I want to hear. It's truly amazing, that spirit of Christmas.
I tell you, it's truly amazing, that spirit of Christmas. Let me hear you.
Why can't it be? Christmas. Oh, it's truly amazing, that spirit of Christmas. Ain't it so? It's truly amazing, yeah, that spirit of Christmas. Oh,
yes. Merry Christmas, everybody.
From your old friends here. We're sending a Merry Christmas out to E.T., who's home in Tulsa right now celebrating the holidays.
Yes.
Good friend of ours.
He'll be home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. E.T.'s going to be back on the podcast, folks. I know you guys have been missing him, and we've been missing him too, but he was ill for a while. He's out of the state, on the run.
He went to shit and the hogs ate him.
he'll be back. He'll be back. Don't worry, folks.
Better than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And we might have our friend Matthew next week on the show, from Matthew and the Arrogant Sea. So look for that, folks. Or he may not show up. You know? You never know. But even if he doesn't show up, we're going to have a great show next week. Lots of great stuff planned for our New Year's show. It's going to be fun.
It is. A round out of the year.
Yeah, yeah. The year-end show.
We should probably take notes for that one.
Yeah, what kind of notes?
You know, just have talking points, I guess, to highlight the...
You mean like some sort of organization for the show? I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah.
That might go against every... No, we... You know, we could really get this show going a lot better if we had some organization.
Organization, yeah. Like if it came out on the same time every week.
And yeah, maybe we did a production meeting before the show.
Yeah, maybe if we had like real guests on sometimes.
Yeah.
More often.
Yeah.
Like we might have Arrogant Matthew on next week, so this could be the beginning.
Well, I mean, we might have Barack Obama on the show next week, but
we
I don't
should
think
definitely.
That's gonna,
yeah. We haven't been talking to him.
Like, no, I'm just kidding.
I talked to Arrogant Matthew about it, and he's down. He's
I'm just kidding.
Not unavailable today, so.
All right.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Everybody, we'll see you. Shut the fuck up, Charlie. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
For producer James the Robot, technical engineer Nikola Tesla, and your host Starfire on the Mountain and Charlie Shafter, this has been another episode of You Can't See Us.